Yeah, I don't think I'm going to move too much, brother, because up there in our mission in Laredo, if I move this way, I hit the piano. If I move this way, I hit the row of people. We don't have a big place. Up here, we hit the more people, and if I move back, I hit the wall, so I'm used to standing.
Hey, man.
I'm afraid if I move this way, I'll fall down. But, you know, Romanos 1:16, la palabra de Dios dice, porque no me avergüenzo del Evangelio de Cristo.
Amén.
Jesús.
Amén.
Porque es poder para salvación, para todo aquel que en él cree, para el judío primeramente, y también para el griego. And that's what some of our brother been preaching tonight. The word of God says in Romans 1:16, says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, the gospel of Jesus Christ,
amen,
is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that's one thing, you know, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord
that's
Jesus
right,
Christ.
Amen.
And you know, you might be talking about Mexico and Peru and everything, but brother, the way I look in San Antonio, man, the gospel really needs to be here in
that's
San Antonio.
Right.
And I imagine it needs to be preached right around.
Amen. Mexico. That's right true, here. Too.
So we all missionary. We all can preach about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord saved my soul. I give a short word of testimony. Wow. We've been in Laredo now for 2 years. The Lord blessed us. We have two missions going now on the Laredo side, on Laredo, and just a month ago we started a mission here on the Texas side, on the Laredo side, and we're seeing people come to know Christ as a personal Savior. And one area where the Lord really blessed us, and that's with the teenagers. Sometimes we have over 40 or 50 teenagers in our services, and on Saturday we have 40 or 50 teenagers go giving our tract right in the main downtown street of Laredo. And sometimes they put me ashamed, though, you know, because on Sunday it's pretty hard. On Sunday morning, I had to drive some of the people to church, and I get tired, you know, I kind of want to come and take a little bit of siesta, you know. I say I want to study for the night, you know, but mostly for a siesta. And they'll come and say, hey, Brother Trey, are we going to give our tracts? Well, it makes me feel bad, you know. But, you know, it's a blessing to see young people come to know Christ. Because especially nowadays, a lot of people say, well, you can't bring the teenager. If you keep them busy, you'll bring them. But we keep them busy. And we have someone, one of our teenage boys started to preach out on our second mission on Friday. And it just grilled my heart. I wish I could had a chance to bring someone more here so they could sing and witness. And I know you missionaries in Mexico, you know how they love to sing. You know? We used to let them sing one at a time or something like that. But the Lord's blessing, so we just let him sing now by 10 at a time or 50 at a time. But it's a blessing, because right there in the area where we are in Nuevo Laredo, I could say that 90 or 95% of the people that we're running about 100, 150 now, I'd say that about 95% of the people have known Christ there at the mission. Because, like a brother said, the ones that had gone to church, the few had gone to church, they thought that you had to not only believe in Christ, but that you had to work for your salvation. And we have these three teenage boys that they came to our mission about a year and a half ago. We've been there 2 years. And their grandmother, God met them. He said, so they came and they accepted Christ. He said, well, he said, my grandson's going to be a Christian now. He said, he's been a Christian all his life. He's been going to church all his life. And his grandson said, no, grandma said, they're at the mission for the first time. He said, I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, he said something, he said, it's so simple, like a brother said. He said, I don't know how all these years and all the people around here, they're trying to preach another gospel that you have to do this and you have to do that. And he said, and it's so simple. And I'm so glad that even a little child can understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it has to be preached right, though.
Amen.
It has to be preached right. Only for by grace are you saved through faith. That's it. No works.
Amen.
Nothing. Just, amen. And you have, it's simple, but when you come to Christ, you have to believe that Christ has the power to give you everlasting life.
Amen.
You have to believe that His shed blood is enough to take you to heaven.
Yes.
If the shed blood of Jesus Christ can't take you to heaven, well, you can work till you die. And He's nothing going to take you to heaven.
That's right.
Just the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I was born and raised here in San Antonio, Texas, and I guess some of you might have heard my testimony. But there's a lot of young people here. It might help them. I lived the life of the Irish Spanish American here in the West Side, and I never got in too much trouble. And then I finished high school, and after I finished high school, I got away from home and young people. I said, "Well, I don't have my father, mother, nobody to take care of me." I said, "I'm gonna do what I want to now." The Word of God says that it's possible to enjoy your sins for a season, But at the end, it will bring forth death.
That's right.
And that's what happened in my life. I got away from home and I started drinking. And some people control the drinking, but not me. And after a while, at first I enjoyed my drinking, but as the years went by, it got to be something that it wasn't something that I enjoyed doing. It's something that I had to do. And then for the next 12, 13 years of my life, every time I get up, all I thought about, what am I going to drink today? And every night, every day, every afternoon, every time, I got out of the service and the same thing happened. I just kept drinking here, working here in San Antonio. But I'm thankful that about 3 years before I got saved, my brother-in-law, who's stationed in Lackland Air Force Base, he married my sister, and he went back to Montgomery, Alabama, where he got saved, and he started a Baptist church. And you know, the Lord it seemed to work this way. We say we want the whole world to be saved, but we usually have one or two persons that the Lord puts in our heart to be saved above everybody else. And I'm thankful that the Lord put me in my brother-in-law's heart and my sister's heart. Because everybody say, well, Craig, you ought to stop your drinking, because we had four boys then. We got six boys now. Because of your boy and because of your wife, because of your health, it got so bad that the doctor said, well, you keep living the way you are, you won't live more than 6 months. I said, I don't care. As long as I can get something to drink the next 6 months, that's all. That's it. But you know, all this time, I never once thought where I would spend eternity. Mm-hmm. It never dawned on me, well, you know, if I were to die, you know, that I would go to a burning hell. But my brother used to come about every 6 months to San Antonio. And, you know, I remember one thing. When I used to see him come, I said, oh, no. Oh, right. I said, here comes that preacher. Because everybody else would tell me what to do. But my brother-in-law, all he did, he just opened the Word of God. And he said, and he never once told me to stop drinking. And that's what hurt me. You know, I wish he'd tell me to stop drinking, you know. But no, all he said, well, you know, he said, well, God so loved the world.
Amen.
And we all have sinned. And the Word of God says that darkness hated light. And I hated him. I hate him every time I see him, because I say, here, I know what he's going to do. He's going to preach to me again.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm thankful that he didn't stop witnessing. Well, if you have somebody that's hard in your family, you have a father or mother that's a drunkard or is deep in sin, or you better not stop praying for them. You better not stop witnessing. Because if my brother-in-law would have stopped witnessing to me, I feel in my heart that I would be in a burning hell right now. But then 12 years ago, he came to San Antonio and he stayed in my mother's house until about 11, 12, and I wouldn't come home until about 2 or 3 in the morning. And then once that Sunday, real early in the morning, my sister got on the phone and she called me and she said, why don't you go to Brother Silo's? I don't know if Brother Silo's been here tonight. I mean, this week or
no,
he,
not yet.
But I started cursing her out. I said to the phone, I said, well, I don't have time to go to church. I said, I got my beer, I got my whiskey. The first thing in my mind was going to church. But then my brother-in-law got on the phone and he used wisdom that the word God said we ought to use. And he said, well, if you don't want to go at 9:45, he said, why don't you go to 11? And right there, and I say it everywhere, that I'm thankful for preachers that not only preach the word of God, but live it.
Amen.
Bro, that's a lot of difference. And I know, I've been traveling a lot. There's a lot of difference between what you preach. People might not hear too much what you preach, but they're going to see how you live. And if you preach hard and you don't live right, it ain't going to work out.
Yeah, that's
right. People are not going to see it.
Amen.
And I knew that my brother-in-law and my sister live for my brother-in-law preach as far as they can. So that Sunday morning, I went to church out of respect. I said, well, okay, I'll go at 11. And then when I got there, Brother Silo's church, he said he'd never seen anybody like me walking there. About 80 pounds, close to death. And there, for the first time, the Holy Spirit started convicting my heart.
Amen.
But brother, the Holy Spirit is the one that has to convict the heart. He's not just making a decision. It's the Holy Spirit convicting your heart. And even though my brother-in-law had witnessed to me, I never had come under conviction. But that Sunday morning, Brother Silo started saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I said, brother, this brother don't know me. He said, if he know me, he wouldn't be saying that God loved me, that he sent his son. I said, I don't have love for nobody. I don't have love for my family, my wife, my son. I don't even have love for my own self. And yet this man here is saying that God loved me so much that he sent his son to die. But you know, I'm thankful that he was true to God's word.
Amen.
He said we had to admit that we're lost sinners. And that's what people don't want to do. There might be somebody here that you never have wanted to admit that you're lost sin. You might not be as deep in sin as I was, but well, you have to admit that you're lost.
That's right, amen.
Satan was saying, well, look at you. How can you get saved? Look the way you are. Why don't you just straighten your life and then you come back and then you get saved. But I'm thankful that when he gave the invitation that I was able to go forward, an old drunkard, close to a drunkard's hell, and just by simple childlike faith, when he gave the invitation, I was able to get out on my knees and got up, be a child of God.
Amen.
No works. Hey, no works, brother.
Amen.
I didn't bring no money.
Amen.
Man, about 4 hours ago, I had been out in one of the joints there in the west side. What good works.
That's right.
You know, that seems all the love that through salvation plan, all the grace that brought it down to me. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did spend.
Amen.
At Calvary.
Yes.
And he did it for me.
Amen.
My account was settled.
Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
My account was settled. Hallelujah.
My account was settled. What did he say? Long ago, long ago.
The old account was settled.
And my record was clear day.
Amen.
For he washed my sins away.
Amen.
Yes, that old account was settled. For me.
Amen.
12 years ago. And you know, then the Lord called me, and I guess like most of the preachers or missionaries, it seemed like we waste about 5 years before we answer the call of God. The Lord had to chose us and chose us and chose us.
Amen. That's right.
And then 5 years after I got saved, the Lord called me in a missionary conference like this here to surrender and preach the gospel to our own people. And I would say, well, I don't have the education. How can I go? I don't have the money. We have 5 boys. How am I going to get an old man like me going to school? But then I remember the hymn that we used to sing. It says, my life I gave for thee, my precious blood I shed.
Amen.
That thou my ransom be and rescue thee from hell. My life, I gave for thee. What have thou given for me? And I said, well, what have I really, really given?
Amen.
For my Lord and Savior Jesus. I'm always saying that I'm thankful that he saved me from a life of a drunk. And you know, it hasn't been easy. Because if you're gonna get in the battle, it's not gonna be easy. Because the Word of God doesn't promise a Christian, especially in the time we're living.
That's right.
He ain't gonna promise no teenager right here an easy life if you go to the public schools or any schools around here.
That's right, brother.
There's no easy road. Some Christians try to make it an easy road. You know, I serve the Lord if everything goes right and I don't offend anybody. If you wanna live for the Lord, you'll be offending most of the people
around
you.
That's right, amen. That's true.
But one thing the Bible does promise you, he promised you the peace of God.
Amen.
If you're trying to be in the center of God's will, you can be in the middle of the greatest storm in your life. But I'll guarantee you, when you go to sleep, you can sleep. The Lord will give you
that
peace. Amen.
Because if you're running away from the will of God, you can act like you're doing God's will. You can pretend that you like to sing. But when you go to sleep, that's a little conscious thing. You're not doing what I want you to do. You're not doing what I want you to do. If you have your Bible, I'll just take about 5 minutes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see where the Apostle Paul says, this is a great truth, I believe, that if we really believe it in our heart, that it'll help us, challenge us tonight.
What chapter, brother?
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Word of God says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive those things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to stand. This is talking to the saved person in the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that if there's some truth that we believe, if we believe him in our hearts, not only in our mind, it would change the way that we live. If all of us would realize what it says here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Every saved person here is going to give an account of what he's done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Anytime you've been ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before him and you're going to give an account. If the Lord's calling you to the mission field, calling to be a pastor, and you say no, one day you're going to stand before him and you're giving an account. But everything good that you've done, you're going to stand before him and he's going to say, well done. You know, when I stand before my Lord and Savior, I want my actions to prove what my word says.
Amen.
I want to stand before my Lord and Savior Jesus
Lord.
Christ.
Amen.
And tell him, Lord, Amen. I might not have done too much, but I try. You know, sometimes I get tired of people going up there to the radio and say, oh, Brother Trey, well, the Lord gave me a burden. I want to help and I want to do this here. I want to do that. I got to a point where I said, look, until you do it, don't say. Don't come out here saying that you want to work and the Lord gives you this great burden. Well, brother, but I want to see what you do on Monday, Tuesday, when it's hot and dusty, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's what really counts. I had two people that wanted to take the teenagers over there in Colorado, and some of them don't want to go when it gets too hot. When they're tired, they don't want to go. And I had to tell one of them, look, if you want to work here, you help us out, you're going to have to be here whether you feel like it or you don't.
Amen.
You know what happened last time? We don't really believe this verse where it says, for we must all appear. But we're going to give an account, all of us. And that, Amen. Quickly, let's look in verse 18. So in the letter 4 says, he had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Right here, we don't have an option. We can't say, if we want to take that ministry, we'll take it, or we don't want. He had given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
That's just like in John, remember when that man that was born blind, that the Lord gave him back his sight, and he went back to his own people. He told him how the Lord had given his sight, and they went back to the religious people twice. They asked him, well, how did you get your sight? And they got mad because they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, they told this man, he said, well, give God the praise. He said, we know God, but this man, he's a sinner. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man that got the Christ gave him back his sight, he said, if he's a sinner or not, he said, I know not. He said, but one thing I know, I once was blind,
Amen.
And now I see. Brother, that's the ministry of reconciliation. Just telling people what the Lord has done for you.
Amen.
Every one of us, you don't have to know too much Bible.
That's right.
But if you've been saved by the grace of God, you can tell somebody.
Amen.
One day I was lost, and I heard the gospel, I accepted Christ.
Right.
Or you're bashful, you can give somebody a tract. And then if we look in verse 20, he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. All of us are going to be our ambassadors for Christ, one way or the other. There's no option there. Every born-again Christian here, the only thing, you're either going to be a good ambassador for Christ or a bad one.
That's right. Amen.
Some of you are going to represent Christ to some of your relatives that none of us will ever meet. You're going to be the only ambassador that person will see about Christ. I wonder what kind of ambassador you're going to be. Because, you know, after all that's said and done, after the missionaries conference is over and everything, what's really going to count is how much you believe the Word of God.
Right.
Do you believe that you're going to stand before God?
Amen.
Or are you living a life that's not pleasing to God? If you really believe it, then you're going to change it. And I pray that everyone here says, by the grace of God, I'm going to get in the fight.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we need soldiers. We don't need no Boy Scouts. In the army,
that's right. Amen.
Brother, we believe we need soldiers that they'll fight where they feel like it. They don't want to. And if the Lord tells you to, if the Lord will tell you to do whatever right now, you would say, yes, sir, and do it. If he tell you to leave a good job, he tell you to leave your security and follow him, you say, here am I, Lord.
Amen.
Same. But it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
One day.
Amen.
One day.
Amen.
We'll see our Lord and Savior.
Praise the Lord.
You know, it might be even tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hopeful, brother.
That's right.